I think we're still looking at 42 degrees. Cloudy day, a mild day ahead of us. That is for sure. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra in concert to December 29th at Little Caesars Arena. That's coming up in this next hour in just a few minutes. We mentioned a few times this morning the December 7th, 1941, the fact that it was 81 years ago today that the Empire of Japan launched an air raid on the United States, specifically the U.S. Navy base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. We want a little perspective on this, an educated perspective. We turn to Professor Elizabeth Lublin, Ph.D., Wayne State University Associate Professor of History. And I'm told, Professor, you go by Betsy.
I do. Good morning. Well, thank you for having me on.
I go by Paul. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
So what can you tell us? Professor, what are you telling the students? Do the students have an interest in hearing about Pearl Harbor Day?
They certainly have an interest. Most students come at it with a perspective not understanding anything about the reasons why Japan attacked. So part of what I do in the classroom is provide that kind of context and then also explain the Japanese reaction at the time, the public reaction at the time, as well as Japanese thinking about Pearl Harbor today. And they're surprised. Again, because they don't get that kind of education in most high school history classes.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, Professor. It's very possible I could forget. That happens from time to time, more lately than ever. I don't remember being told why Japan attacked. I just know that they attacked and we were very upset and we then got involved in the war. Tell us what happened here. What is it you're telling the kids caused Japan to attack us? The U.S.?
The simplest answer is that the Japanese at the time felt threatened, felt that they had been cornered into a position for which the attack on Pearl Harbor was the only way to defend the nation. So this dates back, the causes date back certainly to the 1930s, Japan expansionism into China, the fact that in the late 1930s, 1940, 1941, Japan increasingly moved into Southeast Asia very much to get tin, rubber, and particularly oil reserves. And those were absolutely essential from the Japanese perspective to continuing to wage war, expand the empire, protect the homeland. And in July of 1941, the United States, together with Britain and the Netherlands, placed an embargo on all U.S. or all Japanese assets in those countries, and also severely restricted Japan's access to crude oil. And so that sense of threat led the Japanese to decide to attack Pearl Harbor, thinking that the attack on Pearl Harbor would take the United States out of the equation. Simultaneous to that, Japan moved into or attacked British and American holdings in Southeast Asia, all for the purpose of opening up a greater path to Indonesia, to the Dutch East Indies, so as to get full access to the oil that, again, was essential to waging the war. So in this sense, Pearl Harbor was a preemptive strike, but a strike very much designed to give Japan access to resources that had been cut off.
And well, they also attacked, and we don't ever talk very much about it. They attacked Hong Kong, Guam, the Philippines, Wake Island. There was a lot going on December 7th, 1941. But it's hard for me to believe or understand the kind of thinking that would lead anyone in a leadership role in Japan to believe attacking Pearl Harbor would be a way to get us out of the equation. That's kind of incredibly bizarre thinking.
Well, so with Pearl Harbor, there were two essential goals. One was to destroy the carriers, which actually the four main carriers were out on exercises, so that didn't even happen. And those four carriers played a crucial role in, say, the Battle of Midway 6 months later, when the tide of the war in the Pacific turned. The Japanese were also aiming to destroy the crude oil tankers in Hawaii and miss those. So those were two big flubs on the part of the Japanese. But one thing to keep in mind is that there was a big conflict going in with the Japanese government. Debates, disputes between the military and civilian officials about whether or not diplomatic negotiations should continue or if Japan should launch a preemptive strike. So there's a great book that came out, actually, a Japanese diplomat in 2010, in which he titled Demystifying Pearl Harbor. And he, and I can quote here if you don't mind, he actually referred to Japanese foreign policy at the time, and here's the quote, as inconsistent, unsteady, and a bit haphazard. So you could say that on the Japanese side, again, this was not an attack that had the full support of everybody in government. And even within the military, the Navy had a different agenda than the Army. So sometimes it was one idea is that there was a small cohort, this clique, that before the attack on Pearl Harbor took over and was really behind the attack. And essentially with the attack, then everybody else had to jump on the bandwagon.
Fascinating. Another side to the story that in all these years I've never even heard or frankly thought about very much. We appreciate your help. Professor Elizabeth Lublin, Ph.D., Wayne State University Associate Professor of History. Thank you, Professor Betsy. We appreciate your help.
Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day.
You do the same. A little education here early in the morning at 7:58 on WJR. MSU's president coming up.